Reality Daily listeners, what is going on? It is your boy Jeremy here to talk all things Challenge 39, Battle for a New Champion, Episode 11. And I can't do this alone. I've got my ride or die with me. It's Naveed. Naveed, another big episode you and I get to talk about. How's it going?
Good, good. And for all the Laurel truthers out there, I stand with you. They did our girl dirty this episode.
Yes, from one Laurel truther to another, what a treat to get her back on our screens, and what a disappointment as to how the episode was. But we do have a lot to talk about between now and the elimination, and we'll just get right into it, just like this episode did. Because as we saw from the end of last week's episode, they were going straight to their next daily challenge, which, you know, it's chaos and we got to keep them on their toes. But TJ said, see you in an hour. And then they were at the house eating. That was not what was advertised last week, Naveed. This is a go home, get changed and go, not go home, eat and chit chat and go.
Yeah, it's like, go home. And enjoy your time for an hour, but make sure you come back in time. God damn it. It's like, what are we doing here? Yeah. I personally think that it's pretty like clever on their end to like make them like go home and like, you know, give them a free hour, because they knew, JB, they knew that like they were going to like eat, right? Just so that they could have like some fuel for the challenge. But unfortunately, that was like possibly the worst thing you could do before this daily.
Yeah, that was so dark-sided on the producers.
Yeah.
So dark-sided to give them food before the eating challenge where you know you're going to be throwing it. Like that's they asked for this.
It was like some heavy food too, like they were eating. That was like pasta and shit like that. Could you imagine like eating that much pasta and then having to eat some more food? Like that would be brutal.
Right before a daily, like you want to carb up so you have as much energy as possible, especially considering that it's a late night challenge. So the daily's called Banquet of Champions, and it's going to be played in four teams of four. And in this daily, these teams are going to have to take these boxes, that have their menu in it. And in order to get the boxes, they have to answer these trivia questions. And the right answer for the trivia question gives the team a lighter box, and the wrong answer gives a heavier box. There were four, and then by the end of the time, once each team had all the boxes, they could uncover the boxes, which would reveal the four dishes. Each person was responsible for eating one of the foods. Brain soup, skin and colon stew, pig snout and ear, and a spicy surprise. Naveed, all great options, but what are you going for?
Yeah, fuck, I'm going for none of them. Maybe like the spicy drink or whatever, that one, at least because it's like spicy, like you can kind of deal with it, right? Because it's not disgusting, I'm assuming. I don't know, like am I crazy for assuming that?
So yeah, I mean, I would think that too, and like I can tolerate spicy food. I would also say the skin and colon stew is probably a more appealing option than the others. But I heard they were all crap. I mean, and they looked like crap, so as it should be.
Yeah, like this is, I don't know. This is the one thing that the challenge loves to do every single season, and it's the one thing I always like fast forward, or like I watch on like 5x speed or something, because I just hate like the close up shots they take of like people like drinking like the disgusting food, or like the vomit shots and all. Like I don't know, I could do without it, JB.
Yeah, and like yesterday, like I was eating, and I knew this was coming, and I was like watching like the first little act, and I'm like, oh wait, it's gonna be an eating challenge, so I need to finish eating before this eating challenge, otherwise I'm not gonna be hungry anymore. So I ate my food before this eating challenge and got that sorted out. But yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot really to discuss in this daily. I mean, the Ravens team. Everyone kind of breezes through the trivia, except for Raven's team. I think Raven was on the team with Olivia, Jay, and I forget who the fourth one was. Who was the fourth one on that team?
Gosh, I can't remember now.
Was it
like,
Asaf?
Like, I think, yeah, that was like the name that was like coming out to me as well.
I think it was Asaf, yeah.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So the four of them, that team is going to struggle the most, but the team that wins, and I thought it was probably the best case scenario because it's Colleen, Corey, James, and Mariah that win this daily. And I was really excited when, we saw them win because, you know, we knew it was a girls' day because we saw the preview from the week before that Laurel was going to be in the arena. So we knew it was going to be a girls' day. And I think with Mariah and Colleen, like, we kind of kicked that rock down a little bit to the next girls' day. And it kind of forces someone else who's on the bottom to kind of get the shit end of the stick. So what did you think about this group winning the daily?
I think you said, it's like the best case scenario. But I just love the fact that you have like a duo in that four of like Mariah and James, right? Who theoretically should be dictating like who goes in and stuff like that. But it is actually the alphaest guy there, Corey, dictating how things should go. I'm not voting Berna. Let's go Raven. And it's just like incredible to see how he got his way. And like it got to the point that like James was agreeing with Corey and like Mariah wasn't, which is like kind of nuts. You would think that like James would like back whatever Mariah said 100%. So like, I don't know. This is why we've been saying like all this season, like, you know, Corey should come back. I think Reality Daily correspondent Wyatt said at one point that like Corey is putting up like rookie of the year, season numbers. Like that's the type of like player he's been, or like the entertainment he's been this season. So I loved it, and I loved the drama afterwards when him and Raven started like yelling at each other.
I think that this group could really shake the game up. Like I feel like if any other girl would have won, I would think Colleen would have gone in.
100%. It's a done deal. Like, I don't think there's any chance that she doesn't go in if it's any other group.
And Colleen had, like, very little airtime in this episode, and I wonder if that's foreshadowing or whatnot. But also, there was a lot of, like, there were, like, she just wasn't the main character in this episode. Like, she did win the daily, but, like, she kind of just said, hey, like, you know, Mariah wanted to take control of the vote. Corey wanted to take control of the vote. She kind of just let him, and good for her. I mean, like, no, she doesn't owe anybody anything. Like, maybe Berna, but, like, and she was kind of protecting Berna there in that deliberation, you know, because I would say with Berna, like, Colleen and her, like, are close, ish. Like, I think it's a thing that isn't really shown a whole lot on camera because, you know, we know that, you know, Berna is from Turkey, but she lives in Germany, or at least she did live in Germany at one point, and that's where mm-hmm. Colleen is from. So we have an understanding that they should be a little bit close. I mean, this is probably the first time they've met, but in a house that has, you know, seen everyone but them kind of align, you know, it kind of makes sense for this group to kind of come together. And we'll talk more, you know, in the later bit of the podcast.
Yeah, well, like, the thing, if you remember, like, when it comes to Berna and Colleen, is that they were speaking, like, German with each other when talking to Colleen about her, like, romance with Emmanuel, which, oddly enough, it hasn't been shown at all, like, the rest of this episode. It seems like it's just been Raven and Emmanuel this episode. But for those who remember, Colleen was, like, the third wheel or the triangle in that type of relationship. And now it just seems like whatever happened there is not shown. But we did get to see some glimpses of Berna being there for Colleen, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we definitely did. And I think that later down the line, it could play maybe a larger role. But Raven's going to get a lot of heat here from Corey. And honestly, like, this really didn't surprise me on the episode. You know, we saw back in episode 7 that Raven votes Corey in. I mean, Raven doesn't really like stick up for him, and I don't necessarily know if this is reason enough for Corey to go in, but like, what is Corey supposed to do in this scenario? Is Corey supposed to push for Zaza to go in?
Well, he has two options, right? At this point, he can take a look at the like the team layout and just say, you know what, I'll just go with whatever whatever you know James and Mariah say, as long as it's not Berna, and then it'll be all gravy. But I think he took the opportunity and just like shot his shot and aimed his scopes at aimed his gun or whatever you want to say. He took a shot at Raven, and I think it's precisely like you said, because of like a few episodes ago, it was because Raven did not stand up for what was it called? It did not stand up for Corey. So it makes sense, and I'm really glad that we saw Corey like seizing the opportunity when like he thought it was available. And you know what? I'll just say it like it's really entertaining. Like this is why I think Corey should be on every season, and I'm glad that he's here.
Yeah, I agree. I think Corey is definitely making his mark these last few weeks. And yeah, I think he could have honestly just said Berna. Because we saw that Mariah was open to putting Berna in. It was just kind of surprising, though, that James and Mariah were not on the same page here.
Right? Like, I was shocked that, like, James even was, like, disagreeing with Mariah. I thought that up until this point, James would just be like, as long as it's not Zaza, like, I'm cool with whoever. You know what I mean? But it seemed like he was, like, pretty dead set on just doing Raven as well. And I think it's because of that confessional where he said that, like, you all saw how easy it was for Raven to throw me in, right? So, like, there's no names off the table. And I think that's pretty much why they had a disagreement there, because James is pretty much, like, all his allies have been taken out by Mariah's friends, which is kind of the dilemma that those two have right now.
Yeah, and I think that with James thinking, you know, it's hard. We're probably thinking more about – we've probably talked more game this season than James has. So I would say that anything that we try to, like, justify his reasoning for, I don't know if he really thought about it. Now, granted, obviously it is an edited show and all that, but I think what we saw last week, it's that James really doesn't have a whole lot of game. Like, Mariah is playing his game a little bit, and – I don't know, like, and James is kind of just letting it happen. Like, James kind of just walked ass backwards into what he's got, and he's still here two-thirds of the way into the season. So, I mean, props to him. He's not doing a terrible job, clearly, if he's made it this far. But, you know, I have a hard time trying to justify James's strategy when he doesn't really have much of one. But I do think that with this, like, James doesn't feel any kind of, you know, difficulty against Raven. And look, let's say James does say, hey, let's go for Berna. I'll side with you, Mariah, on this. We'll go for Berna. It's 2-2. I don't think Colleen is pushing for, Colleen is going to push for Berna, and Corey's the one that's actively pushing for Raven. So, I mean, does Corey just say, you know what, Mariah, you can have this, we'll go for Berna today? Or is it, like, you know, maybe a little different?
Yeah, I'm not, like, I'm not really sure. Like, it's really just, like, an interesting, like, four-person group that we have here. I know we were, like, shifting a bit here, like, in the conversation, but can I just, like, bring up JB? Like, is Berna, like, the best social player we've seen in a long time? Because I can't remember a single person who's, like, frustrated the whole house, like, this much, but it's protected this much as well. Like, I really don't know, like, what her magic is. But, like, every single confessional is people going, like, fuck Berna, she's a cock blocker. Or, like, you know, fuck Berna, like, she's frustrating and stuff like that. And then on the other hand, they have people say, like, I'm not voting in Berna. I can't say Berna. Like, it's really strange.
But how many people are actually saying that?
So in the, like, saying what? Like, I'm not voting in Berna?
How many people are really protecting Berna, like, hard?
Emmanuel is, Corey is, Colleen is, and I think through that, maybe, like, one of those, Zaza, probably. I don't think Zaza's gonna be saying Berna. So that's, like, four people right there who have a good chance of being in, like, that, winning, group or whatever, right? So if they're in that winning group in any challenge, there's a good chance that you have some, like, resistance to saying her name.
Absolutely. And Michelle's gonna protect her to an extent as well. I think that Michelle will protect Berna before she will protect some other people in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Berna got a good call here, a good draw with the winners, and she survives elimination here. So we're going to get back to the house. I guess they'll sleep for a little bit, you know, because it's daytime by the time they get back to the house. And you could see that by the end of the daily, you know, the sun was about to rise. So they were there for a long, long time. I mean, I feel like they probably film the elimination around like 10, 11 o'clock, my guess. And it can go into the early morning. And then they kind of just say, okay, here's the challenge. So I want to say that the challenge probably was like at 4 a.m. That's my guess.
Something like, I would agree. Plus the time it takes to go from like the house to the challenge and like, yeah, and all that stuff. I would say you're right.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll get back to what they're going for. And, you know, names are starting to pile up in the house. Zara is an obvious name as like one of the last non-Americans that's available to be put up for nomination, and so is Berna. So it's really, if you're not American, you're on the chopping block, basically, which is unfortunate because, you know, I feel like these international players really, you know, were given a tough deal, most of them, you know, coming out of the house. I don't think there's been a single non-American that hasn't been targeted at least once.
Yeah, I think the impression I got, JB, and like correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that there was a good chance that either like I thought there was a really good chance that Berna was gonna go in based off like the fact that like, you know, you had Emmanuel having like conversations with her saying that like, you know, you gotta cool it with like your like temper and all that stuff, and then you have a soft bringing up her name. I was pretty blindsided by like the whole entire like Zara deciding to throw herself in there like that.
Yeah, because obviously we see that, you know, there is some resistance maybe to putting Zara in. And I don't know if this was just like a ploy from producers to like just add a little bit of suspense and knowing that Zara was going to just throw herself in. You know, we'll get to that in a little bit, but I want to discuss this ABC party. Finally.
Yeah. I'm loving this ABC party, especially like some of the outfit choices. I thought Ed's fashion choice there was hilarious, where like he was like showing his like ass cheeks pretty much. I thought Mariah and Zara looked very hot. Nerys looked smoking. Horacio looked great too. I'm a big fan. They should do this every season.
So Naveed,
JB, I should say they should do this every season. Anissa's not on.
Not that. But Naveed, let me ask you, what did you wear at your last ABC party?
You know, I can't remember. I think it was like the trash bag. Like, I think that was like the you know, those like trash bag like outfits that they have, like that they like a soft, I think, did something similar to like what I was like, probably like what I did around that time.
So you're trash is what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that like trash, you can take me out to dinner.
Ah, yes. Very well said. I'd probably go for like a blanket.
I feel like that's a very like low effort though. Like, isn't it? Like, I think like a trash bag is at least a bit more creative.
Like, I'm a low maintenance kind of guy. I don't go all out. I don't do none of that. But yeah. But I digress. We'll get to this eliminated. So during this, like at the end of the ABC party or whatever, Nerys and Horacio are gonna be talking and they're gonna enjoy their night. And I guess this came a little bit earlier in the episode. Where Horacio basically explains to Nerys, like, I guess this is like at the end of the night, but Horacio is going to explain to Nerys kind of why he's been taking things so slow with her and why he's been, you know, super reserved. And it isn't just like Horacio admits that he's a slow burner and he, you know, likes to take things slow in relationships, but also, he mentions that after the challenge is done filming, he has plans to do another show, another Exatlon season that, you know, that's his original show that he's on, and it's on Telemundo. It may be the only reality show in the world that we don't cover here at Reality Daily. But it's kind of like the challenge. And if you watch a little bit of that show, you'll understand maybe a little bit more why Horacio is, why he does so well on the challenge. So it's very similarly like athletic based competition, and they're gone for a very long time. The show, as we're talking about it here, it's December 28. They've been filming the show for 3 months already. And it's live, to my understanding. So he's been gone for like 3 months, and, You know, and we see on Twitter that even after the challenge is done filming, that Nerys tweeted back in October that Horacio, like, made, like, a little sign, like a heart sign on the show, and it was for her. And then Horacio won a family visit, like, I think a week or two ago, and Nerys was there for the family visit. So, as we can see, like, Horacio and Nerys, they have kind of progressed into the real world, but, you know, in this show, Nerys shows that she's scared. She, like, really wants, you can tell that she really likes Horacio. Like, you can really tell that she's invested in him, and she's really upset that it seems like they, like, can't really continue after the show.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, and it keeps the show bad timing too, because, like, at the ABC party, they kissed, like, for the first time, and then afterwards, that's when Horacio, like, dropped the bomb of, like, I got some good news and I got some bad news. I'm gonna be gone for, like, months after the show. And I think that's kind of, like, what really caused, like, the sad Nerys scene that we see, like, with her crying to Olivia and stuff like that. But then they get back together, JB, and that's when we get Cock Blocker Berna coming into the room, not allowing them to have a good time.
I'm amazed at this cock blocking effort, because not only does she cock block those two, but she also cock blocks Raven with Emmanuel.
Two for two,
like back to back.
Same night.
Same, like, 5 minutes.
which, by the way, I gotta say, like, I'm pretty sure, like, Berna, at that point, you don't have to worry about Emmanuel's girlfriend. Like, I think by that point, they got enough footage for it to be over.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, like, this was definitely the funniest part of the episode, maybe of the whole season, like, honestly, because I just think it's so funny. And the fact that this almost gets her sent in on, like, an obvious Zara, though. Like, it was just...
Bro.
The fact that she was tanking her game that far was...
Listen,
insane.
It's insane. And, like just Emmanuel, like, like, if it wasn't clear enough, like, as him and Raven were walking to the ABC party or whatever, Emmanuel grabs, like, a balloon from Raven's ass and then bites into it and pops it or whatever. Like there is no girlfriend after this, Berna. You do not need to worry about all that.
Just a wild, like a wild set of moments there in that ABC party. But we're gonna get to deliberation, and Zara is just gonna, yeah, I'm going in, guys. I want the challenge. Bring it. Like, I am
here to be the best. You gotta beat the best, JB.
To be the best, you have to beat the best. That's exactly,
brother,
right.
Let me tell you, like, after the first three times, I was like, oh, okay, that's cute and, like, admirable. I was like, the fourth time, I was like, shut the fuck up. Like, we do not need to hear you bouncing up and down and all this shit. And like, we get it. You want to be brave. We all saw you shaking in your boots when Laurel was trying to pick a mace or whatever. And she was, like, waiting to see whose name it was. She did not look like her confident self when it came to the name picking.
Yeah, because, like, this showed to me, like, Zara may be on the wrong show. Because, like, maybe she should go on Exathlon. Like, that's where she needs to go.
Yeah.
Because I would say, like, you know, she has, in her challenge career up until this point, right, she was on Challenge UK, made it to the final, no eliminations, no nothing. She goes on the World Championship, and she's partnered with Wes, who completely tanks her game. Like, it was amazing at how much, like, Zara's game got tanked because of Wes's stupidity. So, like, I really don't, like, fault her for that at all. Like, maybe her one, and she was the first pick of the women in that season. Like, I mean, so she definitely has, like, she definitely has that, you know, reputation of being, like, one of the strongest girls. And that's why, like, people want to send you in. But this is, like, very clear that, like, she has no social game, like, at all. And I think, like, yeah, I just, you know, the challenge, yes, it's at the end of the day, it is about eliminations. Can you win an elimination when you have to go down? Can you win a final? But there is some, like, there is something there in the middle, especially on a season like this, where you may have to face some of these, champions and, and people that, like, I really do believe without the champions, like, Zara could make it all the way to the final and win. for the women. Like, I really do. I think she can be the last woman standing. In my opinion, out of any – like, if you stack all eight of these girls in a final, Zara is either the favorite or second in my book. But she could slip up here if she loses an elimination to Laurel or to Kara, who we haven't seen yet. A Kara-Zara, elimination sounds like it could happen. But I really think, like, she could have really screwed up here if Laurel had pulled her staff, which she doesn't, of course. We do see Laurel come in, and we see Michelle at the elimination, like, just – she's scared. And she should be, to be fair.
Well, like, I think my biggest issue with this whole entire plan of Zara's is for someone who, gets dragged this whole entire episode for having zero strategy, Horacio even pointed out how bad of an idea this was by Zara to, like, throw herself in when he said that now you have zero information on who would say your name. So whenever, like next time Zara wins a challenge or whatever, she can't really go and say, like, oh, you know, you said my name, I don't feel bad for throwing you in or anything. Like, you threw yourself in. You have zero information now to, like, use later on against people.
If there was any strategy this from Zara's point of view, I think that she was trying to say, hey, it's okay. Like, you don't need to say my name. Like, I know I'm going in. And I think she's trying to build some goodwill from people. But, like, who are you trying to, like, avoid in this scenario?
Yeah, like, I think if you want to go also the route of, like, being feared and, like, you know, people being afraid to call you out and stuff like that, you gotta let people know that there's consequences to saying your name. And if you don't give them a chance to say your name to begin with, I think the next time they're just gonna throw you in again. Because they're like, well, I haven't burned her so far, so at least I can burn her now.
I thought the funniest part of the whole thing was Raven and Zara agreeing to, like, a Final Two alliance when they were both in elimination.
Yeah, like, what are y'all doing? Like, what is Zara doing in that situation? Like, what? You guys are hoping that, like, the Chaos one gets picked out and you're both safe? It's
yeah,
nuts.
And earlier in the episode when Raven got thrown in at the Daily, she was like, oh, well, why didn't y'all just put Zara in? She's going to be the house vote. And she just said that, like, out of the blue. And Zara was like, Raven, like, did you really need to, like, put me in this? Like, I'm not, like, this isn't about me. Like, don't make it about me. And now they're a Final Two line. Like, what's going on?
It really doesn't make any sense.
You know what?
But
bad gameplay makes good TV. Good gameplay usually doesn't make good TV.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
So Raven and Zara are bringing good TV this season for the most part. And yeah, I would say that's that. I mean, I would have loved to see the house vote. Like, actually, like, if you're going to vote me, like, vote me. Like, and I'll take it. But just know that next time, like, I'm not going to give you that same courtesy. But yeah, we're going to get to the elimination. Laurel comes out. Michelle is shitting herself in her purple jacket that Laurel points out. I thought that was a great exchange. What'd you think?
Now, I've never seen Michelle more afraid in her life than in that moment. Like, have you, JB?
I can't say I have.
She was it was actually, like, scary, like, her reaction to Laurel just standing there. Like, she was it was quite a scene. And I love the fact that, like, Laurel said, didn't even say her name, like, didn't even say, like, Michelle. She kind of, like, acted like, I don't know who this person, like, purple jacket. I was like, yes, queen, slay her.
wild. But yeah, like, In this, for some, you know, history lesson, last season on Ride or Dies, Michelle and Jay were the winners of the Daily for two straight episodes. And they put Laurel and her Ride or Die Jack in, they threw them in both times. They were up for, they were up for the elimination. And Jack and Laurel won the elimination. They came back. Jay and Michelle were threatened. Jay and Michelle win the next Daily, put Jack and Laurel back in, and they lose the second time. So, yeah, and maybe Michelle didn't go about it in the best way possible. But I can understand why Laurel doesn't like Michelle.
Yeah, I can understand it, too. Like, it totally checks out. And I don't think Michelle really at one point or another said that, like, you know, like Laurel is wrong for, like, not disliking her or whatever. Like, that's probably why she was afraid to begin with, because she knew that, like, Laurel has every reason for to target her. So, like, I'm more frustrated this episode, JB, by, like, the way they try to portray Laurel in the elimination, which we'll get to, like, in a moment.
Yeah, so in this elimination, Laurel is not going to draw the mace, which would have meant Michelle probably would have gone in. She doesn't draw Zaza's thing. She draws Raven's. And Raven and Laurel are going to play the elimination they call Chain Reaction. So basically in this elimination, each person has, I guess, a chain, and you have to pull the chain that is multicolored, and there's 10 sets of 10 colors that are on the chain. And then once you pull through the chain, you have to go through this, I guess they give you like a lock, and then the lock opens this box with all these pegs, and you have to match the colored pegs to what the to what the colors are corresponding on your rope. So it's a very even elimination, you know, with Laurel, you want to see like, you want to see a more physical elimination with Laurel. And we talked that last week about how some eliminations are catered more for people's strengths than others. But I would say with this one, Naveed, I think that it was pretty even. Like, it wasn't Laurel's number one elimination, but I really don't think that this was, like, against her. It was a pretty even elimination regardless.
I think they just want to do something with pegs after the whole entire ninja fiasco. I think that's why they forced this elimination. And I actually want to come into this conversation, JB, and ask you, do you think that this was, like, pre-planned, that, like, Laurel is going to come in and do the specific elimination of, like, the pegs and all that stuff, just so that we could have all the inside jokes?
I do. I do think that the eliminations are pre-notioned. I do, like, Laurel definitely wanted to go against Michelle. But I will say, probably for Laurel's best interest not to go against Michelle, because I think Michelle would have beaten her in this elimination.
Yeah, I feel like it's pretty 50-50 when it comes to elimination like this. And you know what? I think that the part that, like, frustrated me the most is that, like, you have such an iconic person like Laurel coming in. Why give her this elimination? Like, why couldn't we have, like, Casey do this elimination? Like, someone who, like, is the most irrelevant winner out there. Someone that, like, people, like, her fan base are as boring as she is. And then, like, have her do this bullshit elimination. Instead, let's see Laurel do, like, the pole wrestle and, like, do all, like, the fun physical ones. I think that's what we all want to see. And we just kind of got wasted on this, like, on this one.
A Laurel versus Michelle physical elimination. I would have seen that. I would have loved to see that. Even if that would have meant Michelle left the game.
Even if it's Raven, like, I think Raven could, like, hold her own in a physical challenge.
Don't be wrong, but I do think Laurel beat her. Laurel is, like, taller than her. Like, she's bigger than her. It's, you know, it wouldn't, I don't think it would necessarily be close. Well, Raven, give her credit, but at the same time, like, in the elimination, like, Nerissa is saying that Raven doesn't have the best memory, and she's getting a lot of help from the peanut gallery, and this is what frustrates the crap out of me. I get this. If Raven stays, you keep $10,000. So there is incentive for the house to want Raven to stay. But it creates such an uneven playing field that it just is, I hate it. Every season I talk about how there shouldn't be any help from the peanut gallery. And every season we run into a couple eliminations where it matters. And like, the last couple of weeks, like, there really wasn't a reason to help. Like, Big T and Casey in the pole wrestle did nothing. Melissa and Tori in the underwater puzzle did nothing. Darrell and Kylan in that weird elimination that no one has ever done before, no help needed whatsoever. But this was one that you could actively help the people, because you could just say, hey, Michelle, hey, Jay, this is what I'm, you know, this is my sequence. And then tell me my sequence when I get back.
They took it a step further of, like, levels of bullshit, like, help. She was actively saying out loud, like, the sequence on the chain, and they were checking what she was putting on her, like, board and saying if, like, what she had matched her board. which is nuts.
That's why I think Michelle would have definitely won this, because Michelle definitely would have had people helping her and she would have been looking for it. And look, I mean, hey, that's like, if I'm Raven, like, I don't blame Raven. I don't blame Raven for wanting to help. I don't blame the contestants for wanting to help Raven. It saves the money and, you know, you keep people in there, but that could help you down the line. But mm-hmm. at the same time, like, I don't know. It's just not. I don't think you should, like, make it an exile or something like that.
Yeah, like, I think my bigger issue than, like, just, like, the helping is just the way they kind of edited Laurel in this whole entire elimination, on top of it being, like, essentially, like, a 8-1 type of, like, with, like, the help that Raven was getting. They had her, like, scenes of her, like, you know, like, going, like, oh, check. And then, like, they're like, no, that's incorrect. And she goes, like, oh, damn, what am I missing? And then immediately Michelle goes, oh, look at this classic Laurel blaming everyone else but her. It's like, bitch, what? Like, what is she supposed to react there? And then on top of that, they have, like, Berna coming in and being like, you know, I'm not all that impressed by Laurel. And it's just like, come on. Like, you guys could do her better than this. She's iconic. She's, like, one of the, when it comes to, like, the women's side, especially for the challenge, she's one of the few that, like, really pushed, like, the whole entire, cast to be better and to perform better, and like really was carried the women's side for like years. So I just felt bad for her. I think she was done dirty more than like any of the other champions we've seen so far.
Yeah, I really just think that, you know, we, like, you're gonna bring these champions back and like have these epic eliminations, you know?
Just to dunk on them? Like, I don't understand. Like, what's fun about, like, dunking on Laurel? Like, I get it. Like, maybe she was, like, a bit obnoxious to production after the whole entire ninja fiasco, but, like, the way that they treated her, like, down is just a bit stupid. Like,
we thought they may not have been able, like, we thought that they may not have ever brought her back after that. And she took a couple seasons off. But then they brought her back for Ride or Dies. And, like, Ride or Dies was a very, like, you know, a specific season that they brought her back for. Like, I think Laurel said, like, this was, like, one of her very, like, she would only come back if it was Ride or Dies. So, like, that's why they brought her back and, you know, for this season as well. And maybe 40, they'll do something special that will bring her back again. I really hope Laurel comes back. I just would hope on better circumstances. I honestly think her and Michelle as a duo would be unstoppable.
It would be hilarious. Like, the amount of, like, I think they would surpass, like, Cara Maria and Laurel, like, duos when it comes to the arguing, though.
Yeah. And I feel like they would get along. Like, I feel like that's why they don't get along, is because they are, like, so similar.
I don't know about, like, how similar they are. Like, I don't know about that. But, like, when it comes to, like, those two as a pair, I would pay money to see that. Like, I think it would be hilarious to see them in a duo season.
Bad Blood. Somewhere.
Yeah, something like that. Like, the challenge Bad Blood, like, that'd be a fun one. But like I just say, like, Laurel, pure class on the way out. Like, you know what I mean? For someone who was, like, hyped up to be, like, this awful person who's vindictive, a bitch, like, with the way that her, like, that she takes her losses and stuff like that, the way they try to paint her out to be, she was pure class. She, like, gave, like, Raven a hug, said that she was proud of her, and I was very happy to see, like, that's the way that Laurel went out of the game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. But yeah, that's going to be a wrap on this episode. We get a sneak peek into next week's episode. Did you see who the next champion to walk in the arena is?
Am I crazy? I thought they didn't show, like, who the actual champion. It was just, like, I'm pretty sure it's a guy from, like, the size, but I think we just saw, like, his chest. I don't know if we saw, like, anything beyond that.
So there's been some sleuthing on the internet. Naveed, and next week it's not a man, it's Kara
is, oh, interesting,
next week.
I mean, two back-to-back, like, back-to-back, I know they did it earlier, right, with back-to-back
females on their toes.
That would be fun.
You never know if it's going to be a male or a female, and it seems like they're doing it again, because this will be the fourth week out of the last five that it's been a female elimination.
You know, I'd be down to see that. Like, I'd be very excited. I mean, it would make sense as Cara Maria, because I said, like, his chest is big, but, like, Cara Maria is jacked. Like, Cara Maria is so muscular
nowadays. And that we're comparing from the last time we saw her, which was on War of the Worlds 2, which is before COVID.
Yeah, now she's like, she looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger out there. Like, she looks huge.
Granted, she did, she apparently was part of the All-Stars 4, the All-Stars 4 season that still has not made it to air. When are we getting All-Stars 4?
What's going on, MTV? What's happening?
I hope that we get it after this season.
Would be fun. That'd be fun to see. But yeah, like, if we see Cara Maria, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, this is a nice place to park ourselves. But anything else you'd like to add, Naveed, before we sign off?
No, nothing really to add. You know, social medias, follow us there, @RealityDailyPod. And also just check out the feed for the podcast feed. We cover a ton of different shows. It'd be awesome if you could check any of those other shows out. That's about it, though. JB, it was a blast talking to you.
It was a blast. But before we go, like, there is something I did want to add now that I think about it. Because at the end of the episode, Jay is talking about how Raven coming back, although it's nice they keep the 10,000, they are starting to see, like, this potential alliance forming from the outsiders. Raven and Zara have pledged their allegiance to each other. Highland and Horacio are kind of together. James is also kind of in on this group potentially. And that's five people. If you put in Mariah and Berna and Colleen, that's your eight right there. We talked last week about how is this alliance going to get dismantled and broken up. And I think there's your answer. Like, this could be an eight-person group that kind of rolls to the end. And like, Emmanuel as well has people that he can protect within that group. So I feel like we could be starting to see some cracks within this core alliance. And I think we'll see that in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just because these guys, unfortunately, cannot be, like, the outsiders have kept winning eliminations. So, like, Kylan won, now Raven won. So it's like, unfortunately, like, this is what Johnny Bananas famously says about the challenge, right? Where it differs from, like, Survivor and Big Brother. If you try to send people home, they could come back and they'll bite you in the ass. So, I think this is what we're seeing now.
Absolutely. But yeah, this is going to be our last episode for 2023. But we'll be back, of course, in 2024 with another episode. Should be exciting. And of course, we're going to be covering a whole lot of other shows here on Reality Daily in 2024. So be sure to like, comment, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss a single thing. And we'll be back again next week for another episode of the Challenge 39 recaps. Thank you guys so much, and have a happy, happy new year.